From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We inherited a mess, and I'm not sure where all these deficit hawks were when the team Biden was blowing out the deficit. So, you know, last year was 6.7% of GDP, which was the highest it had been when we weren't in a recession, weren't at war. And as your previous guest said, we don't have a tax collection problem. We have a spending problem, and we are trying to get that under control. We are also trying to accelerate growth because changing the growth trajectory upward solves a lot of the deficit problems.
Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, talking about we don't have a tax problem. We have a spending problem, and we are now in a position where those Trump tax cuts, the ones we've been hearing about from Steve Moore for so long, have officially been made permanent in the signing of the Big Beautiful Bill. Steve Moore, welcome back to the show, distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation. How excited are you to know that those Trump tax cuts were made permanent last weekend?
Hi, Annie. And this is a great, great bill. It is, if you're a conservative like I am and like you are, it has so many policy triumphs and victories, things that we've worked for 30 years, not just extending the Trump tax cuts, which was absolutely essential, or else we would have faced a $4 trillion tax increase next year. And every one of your listeners would have, if you're at the head of a household, you'd be paying $2,000 more taxes next year. But there's all sorts of things. It defunds Planned Parenthood. It allows more money for school choice, so parents can choose good schools for their kids. It has expanded health savings accounts. It expands empowerment zones for low-income areas so that we can bring development to inner cities. It gets rid of, remember the electric vehicle mandate?
Mm-hmm.
We get rid of that. Remember the student loan bailouts? We get rid of those. I mean, I could go on and on. This is a great bill. It's not a perfect bill, but it's a very good bill. We're going to bring the deficit down by growing the economy, by getting more people back into jobs and working. And if you notice, the stock market has been really good. It's not so good today because some of the tariff news. But, we got low inflation, low unemployment, a lot of hiring going on. It's just a beautiful picture.
So, I think about how massive, like the size of this thing and the importance. I've spoke with so many legislators in the White House as well. They're like, you have to do this through the reconciliation process. So there's like technical in the weeds stuff that made this bill need to be so big so they could get so much done with that simple majority in the Senate. I want to know, now that the tax cuts are made permanent and you're talking about all these other things in this bill that are great, what is your next crusade? Where is the next focus for the Trump administration that you want to see them continue to invest in the Trump economic miracle?
Well, can't I just savor the victory for a moment? I mean,
no, really I know you can't. I know you're already working on
something. On the next crusade, but you're right. I mean, we're always looking forward. Look, we want to get these trade deals done, and Trump announced some new tariffs today. That is a kind of shot at the bow of Korea and Japan to come to the table, and I think they will, and we'll get better trade deals. I'd like to see some real spending cuts. I think you would too. Now we turn to the budget. Everybody's, oh my God, this is increasing the deficit. Okay, let's see if these Democrats are willing to stand up and cut some of the bloat out of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
We have a $7 trillion budget right now. Pre-COVID was $5 trillion. All we have to do is go back to pre-COVID spending and we balance the budget, for goodness sakes. So it's not that hard, but you need some spending discipline. And I'm not just blaming the Democrats, by the way. The Republicans love to spend money we don't have, too. But, when you've got an institution that's losing $2 trillion, you've got to cut back on your expenditures.
Do you think that this Congress has the stomach to do it?
Probably not, to be honest with you. I mean, look, the Republicans have very slim majorities, and the Democrats, I mean, I want to mention something, Annie, because it depresses me, frankly, and I'm in a good mood, but not one Democrat in the entire House and the entire Senate, that's out of something like 260 Democrats that are in Washington and Congress, every single one of them voted against this bill. And in other words, they voted to allow taxes to go up by $4 trillion next year. I mean, you would only do that if you intentionally wanted to hurt the economy and hurt the American workers and families. I don't get the logic of it. It used to be, you know, I go back to the Reagan years, as you know, Reagan did two historic tax cuts. He got a lot of Democrats to vote for those bills. It wasn't such a politically poisoned atmosphere where you just vote against something because it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, completely. You know, and when we scratch our heads and we're trying to think, what does the Democrat Party even stand for? I'm going to point you, speaking with Steve Moore right now, to New York City, where you have a Democratic socialist, which we'll just on this show refer to as a socialist, running as the lead Democrat candidate for mayor. He hates capitalism. He says he has many critiques of it. He says billionaires shouldn't exist. If New York City elects this guy, what's going to happen?
Well, you know, as you know, we've talked about this many times. You know, I hail from Chicago, which I think is one of the great cities. And I love Chicago. I grew up in Wrigley Field. I saw the Cubs and Cardinals play all the time.
Hey, we're not talking about that this weekend. We're not talking about that here this weekend. That's not good. Not good at all.
But but anyway, so I think Chicago's a world-class city. And you've seen with 3 or 4 years now of this socialist mayor, how it's destroyed the city. Mm-hmm. And you can just see it every time you go. It's heartbreaking. And now New York's going to do the same thing. You know, they need a Rudy. Remember Rudy Giuliani? When he came in, he fixed New York, not through socialism, but by free market capitalism and fighting the crime, getting businesses, cutting taxes, things like that. This guy, he wants the government to run the grocery stores. He wants to basically raise that New York is already the highest tax place in North America, and he wants to raise the taxes again. Yeah. So I pray that this guy doesn't win. And by the way, I saw him over the weekend give a speech. I have to say he's very charismatic, very charming guy. But boy, he's dangerous because he has every wrong idea. I think the New York people, the voters, will be smart enough not to elect him. But it's going to be close.
Well, last question before we let you go. We always appreciate your time. Steve Moore speaking with us right now. You brought up the socialistic mayor in Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker, probably presidential hopeful in the next go around, has announced that he's going to likely seek a third term, which kind of seems king-like to me. But, you know, it is what it is. You think that the people of Illinois have gotten tired of J.B. Pritzker and would maybe look to another candidate should there be a good one?
Well,
understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I lived there in a while. I'm going to visit some family next weekend. But look, the problem for Illinois is that, there was just a new study that came out by United Van Lines, which looks at, where people are moving to or from. And they've got the data because that's where people, rent the trucks when they're moving. And the three states that have had the most outbound traffic, in other words, where people are moving from, not moving to, are New Jersey, New York, and Illinois. So the problem for Illinois is the people who are moving are the successful people, the people who are Republican voters. So I don't see how anybody could beat Pritzker because there aren't any Republicans left in Illinois. They've all gone to Florida and Texas and Tennessee.
There's a few across the river in Mississippi, Steve. Across the Mississippi River. We're sitting over there waving.
There you go.
Last question.
A lot of them moved to Missouri.
If you were advising a candidate, likely on the Republican side, would have to be a moderate on a lot of issues, but maybe a fiscally sound, common sense person. Are there any things, is there any one particular thing in the state of Illinois you would advise them economically to do to get the state to do a 180 and get back in the right direction?
Oh, well, I mean, I would advise this to any governor, and I've advised a lot of governors to do it. And that is, you really want to put some rocket fuel in your economy? You got to do two things. One, eliminate your income tax. The states, there are nine states that have no income tax. They're booming, absolutely booming. And the second thing you have to do is you have to be a right to work state. You have to, businesses will not locate in states where you're forced unionism. And I think Missouri is a right to work state. I don't remember whether you are or not.
It's still a fight here in the state of Missouri. Not quite yet.
Well, you should do it because when you do it, and by the way, it's not anti-union. It's just saying, well, every worker should have the right to join the union or not join the union and shouldn't be imposed by government. So those are the two things that would really turn around Illinois. And boy, new leadership would help too. Mm-hmm. Play. I mean, you know, I don't get it. Pritzker is going to, what's he going to do? He wants to run for president, you know.
Yeah.
Is he going to run on his record? I'm going to make America look like Illinois? Gee, that's a good line.
Well, let me invite you after you stay with family in Chicago next week and to stay for a while, like 4 or 5 years, and I'll vote for you, Steve Moore, for governor. How's that sound?
I'd have to regain residence, but no, it's heartbreaking. I mean, we had a lot of good politicians in Illinois back in the day, but this is what happens when progressives take over a place. They ruin it. Mm-hmm. Look what they've done to San Francisco. Look what they've done to New York. Look what they're doing to so many of our great cities are being destroyed by progressive governance. We need more Rudy Giuliani's.
Yeah, I completely agree. Thank you so much for the time, Steve Moore. Congratulations. Okay. Enjoy the moment, and then we'll get back to work. Take care. Bye-bye. Steve Moore, the Distinguished Fellow in Economics at Heritage Foundation. He's a Trump economic advisor, and his book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again, you could watch. It's probably like a playbook for what's taking place right now. He certainly was at the forefront of establishing the Trump tax cuts originally, and working hard to get them made permanent. He's got to feel pretty excited about that, being a part of the genesis of them in the first term, waiting this long, knowing that this deadline was going to come and go. And should Donald Trump not have won the election, of course, that would be toast for sure. Imagine if Kamala would have, like, imagine what would have happened.
Yeah, that's the thing that I have to keep reminding myself is American politics is a binary choice. It's always going to be one or the other.
You talking to Elon?
I am. Dear Elon.
Is he listening?
Do not do what you're about to do. But the difference between these administrations is so vast. And the fact that there is such a pushback on even spending what they've spent, which is a lot less than Democrats were spending, I'm encouraged by that. Because there is, like he said at the beginning of that interview, there is a lot in this bill that is very mm-hmm. good that conservatives, Republicans, libertarians have been working on for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And they finally got it in there. And we do have to celebrate those things.
We're going to take a break here. And in about 15 minutes from right now, we're going to get an update from Eben Brown, Fox News Radio national correspondent from Texas, in Texas, I should say, on the just absolutely traumatic flooding. The death toll is climbing. It's nearing 90 if it hasn't hit there already. Children, gosh, Lord have mercy. We'll just leave it there. We'll talk about the poll when we come back. Don't go away.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.